UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday on the V Show, presented by Universal Windows Direct on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Fast Break Friday, coming to you from Dave & Buster's. Please come and see us and bring some new or slightly used shoes. Robbie Spear and Mike and I are collecting them to bring overseas to his one of his trips for some of the less privileged. Nothing worse than not even having shoes. We've got a box that's got a lot of room in there yet. Frankly, we need a lot more shoes. I was hoping we'd have a
got a lot of barefoot basketball players, don't we?
We only have about 10 or 11 pairs, I think, in there. We could use a lot more. This is what was just sent. And the people who hate the song, and you're in the minority because we get more texts. Mike, you're lucky we didn't ask you to sing the Met song because they did it again.
I'm driving down the road the other day.
Did you hear us sing it?
And you and Nikki are singing.
Yeah, we sing it. We sing it every time they win, but we're not in the studio today. So
sometimes we get Coop, and we got
We have a whole arm. We got a whole like a Hawaiian dance thing.
It's like a chorus.
Yes, we have a whole. It's choreographed, is what the word I was looking for.
We should hand out little Mr. Met pins.
If you sang
with us, that's what you get.
I was going to tweet out last night. One of the reasons I absolutely fell in love with Mr. Met, because he's my favorite mascot, is on the. I'm going to show Mike this because he didn't grow up a Met fan, so he wouldn't know this. But on the old rain check for the New York Mets, on the ticket itself, you know, the old days you used to have a rain check.
Sure, sure.
The part you kept if the game got rained out,
so you went back.
This was what was on it.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that awesome?
That is cool.
It's Mr. Met with an umbrella over his head and his hand out.
Do you have any Mr. Met, like, dolls?
Paraphernalia? I had some more than I have now, but he's crying. He's so sad. He just wants to play baseball. He just loves baseball. How can you not respect that guy? Love Mr. Met. He has such fun when he's playing. Look at these. There he is, batting, running the bases. Look at that.
And the day I listened, you were talking about the museum.
Yes.
The Mascot Museum
up near Chicago. I'm going to go see it. By the way, here's a little bit of trivia. If you ever see, I know the living mascot is cool, but it's the cartoon one that's awesome. If you look at, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. If you look at Mr. Met's eyes, they're little baseball diamonds.
Really?
Yep. The artist who drew that.
Wait, what? I did not know that.
Look at his eyes.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's a little baseball diamond. You see the little gray
area?
Oh, right there. I see it now.
Yeah.
It's a little baseball diamond. That's the artist. Very, very clever.
Very clever.
It's awesome. So, Mr. Met is the best. There's no getting around that. So, yesterday, the Mets win. The game gets rained out after 8 innings. They're ahead 2-0. And the Indians sent a tweet out, which starts out benign enough. It's a long season. We didn't erase. This is the Indians tweet. We didn't erase an 11.5 game deficit to roll over. We split a series with one of the best teams in Major League Baseball at their home ballpark. We lost the last two to a fringe postseason team. We understand your frustration. Get it out here, but let's renew the perspective. Okay, so that was what he was talking about. This was before the game last night. That was actually tweeted before the game. They'd lost when he said we lost the last two, and he called them a fringe postseason team. So Noah Syndergaard, in classic New York fashion, and you have to do the arm gesture that goes with it, said, "We got some fringe for you right here. We got some fringe for you." That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he had his hand in his back pocket.
Yeah, we got some fringe for you right here. We call it a sweep in New York City. Sadly, I'm not a big fan of this. The new hashtag for the Mets, especially Robbie here, I apologize in advance, is LFGM. Do you want to guess what that stands for?
Yeah, I can guess. Sorry about that, Robbie.
LGM is Let's Go Mets, but it's New York, so it is what it is. We're all byproducts of where we grew up. So.
Well, you know what I like about fans sometimes? It's pretty cool, particularly baseball, because you have three or four game sets. You got people show up with brooms. They start waving the brooms and acting like they're sweeping if their team's going to win 3-3 or whatever, 4-4.
Well, it's you know, what's funny is the Yankees, your Yankees and mine too. I root for the Yankees, so I'm not being a hypocrite here. But it's kind of funny and unfair. The Yankees, as of today, even getting their rear ends handed to them in Oakland, they had a terrible lost four games in a row. They're 37 games over 500.
What, 8.5?
They're 83-46. They're 8 games in first place. The Mets are still not even in the playoff. They are technically still a game and a half out. They're the first team out behind St. Louis. And the whole city is in a tizzy about the Mets. So 7 games over 500. The Yankees must be thinking, what do we have to do exactly? What do you want from us? We're 37 games over. It's not like we've won 10 World Series. They haven't been in a World Series in, what, 7 years, I think? 8 years?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yep.
And they did it, and they had more people on the injured list than just about anybody in baseball. They deserve a lot of kudos, but the Mets are just an incredible story because this run they're on is absolutely unbelievable when it comes to baseball. All these walk-offs, and they've had their own share of injuries, and Pete Alonso's spring training starts, they're not even sure they're going to, maybe that's an indication of why they're in such disarray. Not even sure they're going to put the guy on the roster. He's got 40 home runs and 97 RBIs. What were they missing exactly in this?
Injuries.
Oh, my gosh.
The Yankees
really
more than the Mets, but they've had a lot. How about when the Giants were going south, people used to say the Mets, the Jets and the Nets, and they forgot about the Giants for a while.
Yeah, well, it's but not the ticket holders. That's the one thing.
No. I mean, the PR,
the people,
fans.
The New York Giants, when I was a kid, this is true, they had a 20-year waiting list for season tickets.
Wow.
Not anymore, but, I mean, so people bought Jets tickets just because they couldn't get a Giants ticket. I mean, they were bequeathed to people.
Charlie
Conley.
Kind
of like UK season tickets.
Yeah, well, good luck with that one, right? Charlie Conley, Frank Gifford.
They were good.
Oh, man, they were good.
They were
man.
Very, very good. I'm going to want to read this article, by the way. How the numbers added add up, the legacy of analytics. I am a guy who believes in analytics. I think there's great use in them. I think they're great use in basketball. I think there's two things at work here. Most people don't really completely understand analytics. So because they don't understand it, they assume that these guys have more knowledge than I think they really do. I'm not saying they don't have a lot of knowledge, but it's one of those things like if a guy comes in and it's so brilliant you can't understand it, you think, well, this guy's got to be a genius. Well, it's the same thing. Some of these things are interesting, but I wonder if they're really we're giving them so much import, they're becoming counterproductive. I really honestly believe that. I mean, perfect example. I don't know. Maybe the Royals are horrible this year. They played the Mets the other night. Their starting pitcher was absolutely tying them up. If you watch the game, he had them absolutely baffled.
The KC.
The Kansas City pitcher. He had pitched 81 pitches. That's not a lot, even for a modern pitcher. The game went in the seventh inning, and the analytics guys say, third time through the lineup, you're going to get your ass handed to you. So they take him out. They bring their god-awful bullpen in, and the Mets score 9 runs in 2 innings. And you wonder, maybe at that point you say, I know that as a general rule we should do that, but this guy's on a roll. Let's let him go a little bit. That's where I wonder about it. That's the second thing I wonder about is
well, they take some. There's no human factor.
Well, I think that, and you know why there's no human factor?
How do you
factor?
Feel today?
Because
there's
stuff like us. Because I remember, which World Series was it? I should know this because I consider myself a bit of an historian. Casey Stengel, in the seventh game of a World Series once for the Yankees, on a hunch, started a pitcher that people went, huh? I mean, what the hell is he doing? And the guy absolutely pitched a gem and they won the game. He did that now. I'm not even sure the guy would be able to take the mound because the scrutiny that would come out, he'd be besieged by Twitter and all these social media things. They'd be killing him.
Well, the other thing in all sports, not just baseball, basketball, football, whatever, the managers and coaches will not say anything bad about a player. or right. very seldom. Let's put it that way. Very seldom, right? So if you're coaching basketball team A or football team A, baseball, and you talk to me and you ask me, how you feeling today, Mike? Ready to go? Ready to play? Ready to do that? Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready, coach. I'm ready. Well, good. I'm going to put you in. I'm going to start your play or whatever it is. But you're going to be in there. Well, I lay an egg. Okay? I have a bad day, a bad game. And all of a sudden, they don't go, you know, to the player necessarily.
Right. That's true.
They go to the manager or the coach and say, what about that guy, yeah. Mike Pratt or Robbie Spear, whoever? And they go, well, you know, just had a bad night. They don't want to get into the fact that the manager asked me if I was ready.
Right, right, true.
Okay. Well, that was my mistake telling you I was ready.
That's good.
Okay, not yours for believing me. Yeah. You got to believe your players. And that happens. That's just human nature, you know?
No, it's there's no question this little device, and it's radio so you can't see it, I'm holding the phone, has changed the whole landscape of everything. Like Herm Edwards says, don't hit send. You think about that, how much. I mean, I'm not a big – I respect him as a player. I think Baker Mayfield's the real deal. I don't love the way he conducts his business.
And I'm a Brownie guy, I agree with you.
But, I mean, look, the brouhaha over what he said about Jones with the Giants, the quarterback, and in his defense, maybe he's lying, maybe he's not, but it's viable that what he said is true. He was using it – he said he was using it in context to say – He was trying to say that nobody really knows what they're doing in the front office. They ask about where he was drafted and stuff, and he said, hell, they don't even know.
Yeah, he's like got a huge chip on his shoulder about that.
He does. But he said, well, when the Giants took Jones, I was like, what the hell? But people said, oh, you mean you think he was a bad player? No, he said, I was just trying to say it's an inexact science. Nobody really knows. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but it's viable. But the fact is, I hate to admit it, if you're in the media and you hear that, you know, batch of quotes, the only two you pull out of there are, I couldn't believe the Giants took Jones.
Well, there's two things to that point that bother me. One is the anonymous people who talk.
Anonymous sources.
And they want to talk negative. You know, you don't see anonymous sources when they're talking about a player or a coach when they like him. It's always about somebody that they're in question. The other thing is the great line. Well, they took me out of context.
Yeah, well, that's the. How about the guy? Who's the guy? Which player was he? Wrote his autobiography and said he was misquoted.
I missed that one.
I can't remember which one it was. It was recently. I don't remember who it was. I can't remember. But
I missed that one.
He wrote an autobiography. He wrote it himself.
Oh man, that had to be the Phillies guy, Nails or Dykstra. He was a Met.
I don't think it was a baseball guy. I think it was a basketball guy. Was it Barkley? I don't know who it was.
Oh, boy, that's great. I missed that one. That one's
very
funny. Dandy.
It's Fast Break Friday. Come on, Robbie, grab the mic here. And Robbie Spears with us.
I got here with you, fellas.
There you are. Nice to have you with us here. Tell the folks we really need some more shoes. Bring some shoes.
We need some
Dave
shoes.
Dave and Buster's.
Sure
we've got about, I don't know, 10 pair in there, I guess. I was hoping to get about 40 or 50, to be honest with you. What are you doing with these? Where are you going to take them?
Well, this batch here, these we're trying to get to Belize to start with, and been down there. Campbellsville University went down and did some athletic, some different sports clinics and stuff. So we're trying to collect shoes to go down and help them. They've got baseball restarted up, and down in the country, it's just amazing watching kids out there playing baseball, girls playing fast pitch softball, barefoot. They don't care. You know, we want to try to get shoes for them. Different sports put shoes on their feet so they can play and learn to love the game.
Yep.
They love it already, but they're learning it.
What game do they love the most?
You know, it's funny. They love basketball. Now, they play soccer a lot, mm-hmm. but they really love basketball. But I'm telling you, they're really liking this baseball. Girls' fast pitch softball is huge. I mean, it's like the old school stuff. Now, they have all their national teams and stuff, but like every little village, like, for example, on Sunday afternoon, we'll have women out playing
fast pitch
all kinds of ages.
That's pretty cool.
And they just love to go play, put it down.
And it's fast pitch.
It's fast pitch. And, I mean, they're out there cooking. It's like a family get-together. There's a lady that we know that she was helps with the junior national team, and she was really upset because she was in 40s, and they were moving her from the outfield to first base. didn't like it. She was an outfielder.
That's age, age. Prejudice.
That's it.
That's the ageism.
Kathleen Smith, who from here in Louisville, had gone down to help with the national team and stuff. And so she was telling me about that. And it was so funny. I'm like, no. But they're just so fun to play. They love it. They just want
to. It's fun to be around people who love the game.
Yeah.
If you're having a good time, it makes everything better.
We're just trying to help them.
Sure.
And so there's some cleats in there. There's some shoes that are general purpose you can use for basketball or other things. Because, you know, it's funny. Even at the national level, did you see the story? Which I forget which team it was. It was one of the African countries. Nick, you might remember. Played Israel in, what was it, field hockey? Lacrosse? I can't remember what the hell it was. I think it was field hockey. And it was a world tournament, and the Israeli team won. So the next day, the team from, I wish I could remember which country it was, came to watch them because they were the girls that beat them. And when the girls in the semifinals or the previous round, when the team that the Israelis beat, when this game ended, the game that the team they beat came to watch, they took all their shoes and they gave them to them because they said that we noticed in the game before they were playing without cleats. They said, how could you play without cleats? They said, we don't have any cleats in our country. We don't have the resources to get cleats. This is the national team. So you can imagine if the national team doesn't have them, some kid trying to learn the game
church
in the neighborhood,
team.
He doesn't have anything.
Team,
yeah.
In 1987, we took our first trip. Larry Percival coached. We went to Kenya, and Converse was so wonderful. They gave us all remember the
Converse All-Stars?
Taylors? No, they were the leather ones, the weapons.
Oh, okay. Weapons I didn't know shoe. That one. Yeah,
they were a little heavy shoe, but they gave them. It was great. We went over, and they were doing a tryout for the Kenya national team. They had like 15 kids, and they're out, or 20 kids, I guess, and they were out there with just all kinds of shoes. And some of, like this one kid, about a 6'8", 6'9", kid, boy, his feet, he was like, how are you getting, what are you wearing? He said, well, these are a size 9 because that's all I have. Well, why aren't you wearing any socks? He says, well, because I can't put socks. I really can't get my shoes on.
Won't feel a fit.
And so, but it was so neat. And they were all excited because they had some new tennis shoes coming. Well, while we were there, tennis shoes, not basketball shoes, but tennis
real shoes for
showed
tennis.
Up. Well, they didn't fit or anything. And so, but we were able to give them the weapon shoes. You know, to wearing like that, and they were just so gracious. But they didn't have it. But you know what? They played hard anyway.
Well, when you're over there with your teams, do you see a lot of their athletes that don't have proper shoes? I mean, is that pretty? That's pretty common at all levels over there. Yeah, just not the grassroots.
Well, yeah, it's of course. You got to remember that was their national in '87. So more now, I'm sure a lot of the national teams have. But a lot of teams, just guys that. You know, especially when you're trying
team.
To grow up. Grassroots team, they just don't have. They don't have a lot of money, and, you know, to do that, and people are trying to help them. And so, you know, you occasionally see a guy's got some good shoes, but, you know, so we're just trying. You know, we help a lot of different groups. There's a friend of ours that was helping do baseball over in, I think it may have been in Kenya here recently. And, again, kids out there playing, like seeing a catcher. With full catcher gear.
No shoes.
And no shoes.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, there's no way.
Speaking of Kenya, actually, here's the rest of the story, by the way. All right, I'll try to. Let me see if I can do this from where I'm sitting. Robbie is in this one here, so we're going to put you down a bit, which is this one. And I am on this one here, I think. So there you go. Is that any better, Nick? I hope so. Anyway. The rest of the story is it's Kenya again. It was the Israeli team was playing the Kenyan women's lacrosse team in the under-19 World Championships. Now, this is an incredible story because I didn't realize this. They were playing in Canada, and the grass was wet from the rain, and the Kenyans were slipping all over the place. So Israel won 13-4. So Israel's was playing the next day against Belgium, and supposedly the Kenyan players came to watch that match to prepare for their match with Belgium. But they'd set it up ahead of time that the Israeli team contacted their parents, said, could we fund our money and get some shoes for these girls? They don't have the shoes to play here. So they bought them the shoes, surprised them with them. The Kenyan team went out and beat Belgium 16-9, got a rematch against Israel, and lost 11-10. This time they had the right kind of shoes, and they put a better matchup. But that's pretty awesome. A team that you knew you're still going to have to play, you didn't look at it and say, oh, we got them.
We got them on the hook.
They can't even stand up. They gave them shoes, and it was very, very cool. That's a good story. Very, very nice story.
Now, Robbie, you mentioned women's fast pitch softball. Are they slow to get to baseball? You also mentioned that. Are they slow to get to baseball? Sounds like that women's softball is ahead of the curve.
Right. Yeah, they've been playing fast pitch softball for years. Now, they had baseball for a while several years ago, and then they just then didn't have it anymore. Now, they'd play some fast pitch softball is kind of all they'd have for boys, but not a lot of that. But baseball, we had that. There's a several different groups that have helped, but we had we went over Jimmy Gonzalez, who is the AA coach with the Cubs, went with Andrew and folks down to do some clinics there, and then there's several other groups that have gone to help work with them down there. I just got, matter of fact, the guy that helps put all the baseball together in the country, he wanted to know if some of those shoes were theirs.
Is that right?
The guy just posted it on, and I said, yes, they're coming your way.
How about that?
But he's got it started all over and trying to organize through schools.
According to the Internet, the most popular sports in Belize are soccer, football as they call it, basketball, volleyball, cycling.
Oh, yes.
And cricket in the rural areas. They still play a lot of cricket or hold over from the British.
No bocce?
They said. They don't know.
Yeah, cycling is huge there.
Now, that's interesting. Your group just got back from...
We had a group just came back from Ukraine. Basketball over there.
Ukraine's
great
big.
Trip.
Oh, yeah. That's
college
that's
level
big stuff.
Team. We had a kid from Pittsburgh. Tubby sent a kid from High Point. Had a couple from Jacksonville State. A couple from Louisiana Lafayette.
How many games did you play?
Played five and went, well, technically 2-1-2. They had one that was tied, and they just decided to leave it alone.
Everybody wins.
They just said, hey, you know.
And we've
then,
had
then the last one that tied, it was 99-99. It was kind of a like an NBA all-star game kind of. It was our team against some of the pro players and all, and they wanted it to be fun. And so they just, you know, kind of just played, ended with that. But got to play some of their pro teams over there.
Oh, really?
And
wow.
And then one of their top mid-level college kind of type of teams had a great time. It was phenomenal. They
now,
had so
do,
much
do they
fun.
Have crowds for the
well had, their top crowd had, yeah. had a great turnout. Did camps every day. I think they said like over about 500 kids over the whole time for all the
nice.
Camps.
Did you think the national team that Pop is preparing played in front of 55,000 in Australia the other day?
I saw that.
55,000.
That's like ball.
It was a cricket soccer stadium that's domed, and they closed the top for this. And the players, Donovan Mitchell was quoted, and I give him credit for acknowledging it. He said, you know, we're a little jazzed up. We don't play for about 55,000 people very often. So they started the game. They were a little sloppy because they were so amped up. But that's wild.
You know, I think it's so sad. You can look at it one way or the other, but it's so sad where some of these guys just dropped out. And you know, if you make a commitment and stay in shape and work on your game to make this team, and then you drop out, and I get it that the season's in the corner, I get all that, but it seems to me that some of those guys who dropped out should have stayed and played, and it's such an honor to represent your country.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay, and yet these guys go down and they work hard. They condition themselves to participate in this tryout. Then they try out for a while, and they decide, or their agent says, look, well, I don't want you to go. And they don't go.
Well, that was true for a while. That's one of the things I give Jerry Colangelo and Krzyzewski so much credit
indeed.
For. They
indeed.
Made it a good thing. Guys won. And the players deserve credit, too. Kobe really wanted to play on the team. LeBron never turned down an opportunity to play. Because you know that. There was a big window there where guys didn't want to play. They treated it like it was a nuisance. And the caliber of player we sent kept going down and down and down.
But here's my thought on this whole thing is that Krzyzewski and Jerry,
they know all the agents. They can get to these guys and say, Robbie Spear, I want you know, Robbie to play. You represent him, Bob, but I want him to play. And you work through those friendships, okay? Now, the other thing is, you know, besides the Olympic team, which we started playing the pros, and it was a terrific team for 2 years.
Right, the dream team.
But the build-up teams to that, you know, maybe we ought to start playing more college guys and more G League guys, okay? And give them a chance. If the, now, if the NBA guys don't want to play.
Yeah, but they do want to play. No, I mean, they still want to play.
Why'd they drop out? Then you're picking the wrong ones.
Well, because it's not Olympic year.
Hey, you know, you're building. You got a chance, as I said.
But they do try and do that because, what's his name? Carmelo Anthony volunteered to play on this team, and they said, no, thank you.
Well, they like their locker room without him.
Well, no, they said, well, maybe. But what they also said is we're trying not to get older guys. They are trying to use this team for the younger NBA stars. So this is a team they try to build up so that when then the Olympics come, then they take whoever it may be.
Oh, yeah, that's a different deal. But these build-up.
Are they trying to use this as a younger guy?
I followed this pretty closely, and there's a bunch of guys I thought younger guys that shouldn't have dropped out.
Well, like who?
Fox. Fox for one. De'Aaron Fox.
You see, it all comes back to UK.
I wish he would have stayed. You and I talked about this. What's the U of L guy?
Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell, and Fox had great opportunities, and Donovan Mitchell still does, to build their brand by playing in this game and doing well.
See, when we're talking about
Utah, you need to build your brand, Bob.
But I agree with you. I agree that Fox shouldn't have left. I agree it was a great opportunity, and I agree Donovan is going to benefit from it. But I don't think that's a yardstick to say that they're having trouble getting people who want to play. I think he's one of a smaller number of isolated cases.
How many guys quit during the deal?
Some of them quit because I think that's like your transfer quarterback thing. They didn't think they were going to make it.
Well, listen, as it shakes out now, some of those guys are going to make it.
Well, but that's their mistake then for leaving. It's like a guy who's a transfer. He's the backup quarterback, and he's on blowing his clam, and then a week later, the starter gets hurt. Too bad. You already left.
That's what I'm saying. The guys leave for whatever the reason. I don't, you know, if you commit to do it, stay with it
till the end. I mean, I don't think it's any great sin if you didn't make this team.
No, absolutely not.
My God, they're taking 15 guys out of the entire NBA.
12 guys, I think.
Is it 12?
Yeah.
I thought they had openings.
Well, they may. You know, there is. There is no downside. Right. I mean, you know, it's, you know.
Speaking of that, we got to get to a break, but what did you make of, I mean, a lot of people chuckled about it, Devin Booker getting mad about getting double teamed in the pickup game.
I saw that.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't have a problem with it. We used to do all sorts of crazy crap in pickup games.
We tried running and jump guys.
You know, come on, Mike, let's turn him. Let's see if we can turn him this time. Let's see. I mean, that was the fun of it, wasn't it? I mean, it was just part of the game. I don't know. We always did crap like that.
I agree. I mean, was it tongue in cheek? I don't know.
He looked really mad.
I saw that, but I couldn't tell.
But, I mean, people made more of it than it really was. I'm sure even if he was really mad, he let it go in about 10 seconds. But I just thought it was funny that he got pissed off. And he was like, dude, it's just part of the game, man.
What are you doing?
I thought that was funny. We'll take a short break. We'll be here till 3 o'clock. If you get a chance, come by Dave and Buster's. Bring some new or lightly used shoes. And we're going to be helping some underprivileged, basically, well, they're kids. They are kids. Not basically kids. They are kids. All ages and sizes and shapes and they're developing a love of the game. You want to find out more about what Robbie's group does, you can go to sportsreach.org, and they'll tell you all about their various trips or how you can get involved. There's a Sports Reach in England, too. Did you know that? There's a Sports Reach in England, too. Did you know that? What is that? Is that the same type thing you do, or don't know what that is? I think you should make it like a sister city.
Well, yeah,
thing.
You
we
could
take a trip.
Yeah, you could switch off, bring them here, and you go over there.
I like that. I don't know what they do. I have no idea. Maybe it's just literally about reaching for sports. Like
they're going to measure your wingspan.
That's a company that measures wingspan for foreign players. We'll take a break. Back with more Fast Break Friday. Dave and Buster's, come and say hi here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet? Continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of your life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself and the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
You may have been born to be wild, but you weren't born to be dead from a needless motorcycle crash. So when you're even just a little impaired, you do not get your motor running. You do not head out on the highway. What you do is plan a ride home. Because you may be looking for adventure, but you're not looking for trouble. This Labor Day weekend, please ride sober. Paid with funds through the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety.
The Four Roses Bourbon Rock the Water Tower, September 1st at the Louisville Water Tower Park, featuring the Four Roses Bourbon Tasting Experience and amazing food. Live music by Tony and the Tan Lines and the Crashers, with special guest John Elefante, former lead singer of Kansas, and Johnny Edwards, former lead singer of Foreigner, and much more. Classic rock, classic fun, Labor Day weekend at the Four Roses Bourbon Rock the Water Tower. Tickets available online now at rockthewatertower.com.
Sometimes the only way to get the home of your dreams is to build it from the ground up. Luckily, at Commonwealth Credit Union, dreams become reality every day with full home lending. Our lending experts will be there to empower your vision and walk you through every step from beginning to end. Visit ccuky.org/full home lending to learn more or apply today. Commonwealth Credit Union. Here, we see you differently. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender. Subject to approval. Rate, term, and conditions are subject to change and based on creditworthiness and qualifications. Call us 1-800-228-6420 for details about credit costs and terms. Limited time offer.
Hey, this is Mike Pratt, and do you know what sets a community bank apart from the rest? Friendly service, attention to detail, focus on making sure customers get what they need. At River City Bank, you will receive all of that and more. Be it a home improvement project, construction of a new home, or a bridge loan, their team is with you every step of the way. Visit any convenient River City Bank location or online at rivercitybankky.com. Hometown banking, hometown people. River City Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Tyler Mountain Water has made our office a better place to work for over a year now. They've saved us from long waits at the coffee shop and Diener's rants about those long lines by installing a Keurig that runs right into our water line. So if you want coffee, water, tea, and of course, hot chocolate delivered to your home or office, contact Tyler Mountain Water. They'll throw in a box of K-Cups and a case of bottled water on your first order if you tell them Worldwide sent you. So visit TylerMountainWater.com today. That's TylerMountainWater.com. And make sure to tell them Worldwide sent you.
Hey, Bobby V here. You've heard me talking about Vitality Wellness and weight loss for good reason. I've lost over 20, almost 30 pounds, actually, and it's all personalized and works just for you. It's not a one-size-fits-all diet, and they tailor their programs, their supplements, the minerals to what your body needs. I like understanding how and why we're doing things, and that's what they explain to you at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Give them a call. They're at 502-442-7180. Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Be healthier, thinner, happier, starting tomorrow at Vitality.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging, this approach makes a difference.
Fast Break Friday is brought to you by Universal Windows. Schedule your free in-home estimate today, and for every window you buy, you get the next one free. Plus 0% financing for 36 months and free installation. You'll be saying, I love my windows.
No more incredible man on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
more minutes here with Fast Break Friday. If you're, I know it's been a miserable day out there, but if you can see fit to come out and see us by 3 o'clock, drop off some gently used or new pairs of shoes. We're collecting them to help the Sports Reach group as they make their overseas trips. And I've been on one myself to Belize. I can't say enough about what they do and how they do it. It's great for not only the countries where they go, but for the athletes and coaches they bring. That was a great experience. It was an interesting experience to fly Belize Air, I must confess to that, which is the only airline I've ever been on where during the taxiing, the pilot actually opened the door.
Brilliant!
He opened the door. You turn that story.
You sat in the seat. Oh, you didn't try to get out, did you?
I was a seat in plane hell, baby, for 14 people.
Oh.
And the guy, the pilot flies in flip-flops and shorts, and he gets on the plane. He opens the door on his side. He gets in and turns the plane to the runway, and we start going down the runway. And there's, like, only about four of us on. It's like a bus. You get up, and you go land, and you get up again, and you go land. And where I was meeting Robbie and then was a town called Placenta or something, I think. Placenta. And so the plane had already taken two stops, but this was the first start of it, and he's going down the runway, and he's he opens the door, and I'm thinking, this is a really inopportune time for him to get out. But I realize in hindsight what he's doing is he's swinging the door to try and get air into the plane to cool off. But I really didn't like to see my pilot.
Plane had no air,
the
right?
The door open. No, it was.
And you couldn't put the windows down.
No,
so we opened the door.
No, it was not like a World War II plane. We had, you know, the scarves and the helmets on. It was a beautiful flight. That was gorgeous scenery and everything. But that was, and I was sitting next to a British guy that was as dumbfounded as I was with how things were going, and every time something goofy would happen, he would laugh and go, "Ha ha, brilliant! That's brilliant!" One of the great experiences of my life. It was unbelievable. How many times have you been to Belize, Robbie?
10, 12, somewhere along in there.
It's
a whole lot.
Take out citizenship?
About ready.
I'll tell you what. If you're
as
what,
long as they have lime juice, I'm going back.
I ate a lime. Yes, that's his drink.
Is that like lemonade?
It's like lemonade made with limes.
Ooh,
lime.
I would like that. Oh, huh?
Yeah, he loves
incredible.
It.
Incredible.
He does.
Incredible.
Look at him.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Look at him. He's shaking thinking about it.
He loves it. He got everybody excited about it. I had to have some on the trip. I was like, I've heard so much about this limeade.
Let's also talk to Robbie a little bit. You and I have co-hosted his September fundraiser for
which
quite
is coming
a few
up
years.
When this year? What day?
September 12th.
September 12th.
St. Matthew's Baptist Church. It's our 14th auction.
Wow.
It's quite an affair.
The list of stuff that you auction is extraordinary.
Oh, yes.
The silent auction is great fun. And that's the great thing about it. And the live auction has some unbelievable
experiences. And we have a pre-auction item.
We do?
Yeah, starting. We are have a spot at, I just went blank, at Chris Mack's Fantasy Camp.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going and being part of a coach. And
That's up your alley,
and the other one, we're auctioning it off, starting to be on at Sports Reach 11 on Facebook. Starting at 10 o'clock Friday, Monday morning, ends on Wednesday night. See, we had to auction it off because it's the week before our.
Oh, okay.
So you can go on Facebook and catch our stuff. It's great. Starts at 1 o'clock on Friday. They do all the workouts and all. That night is a dinner party at Chris Mack's house. You get a big swag of U of L gear. There's a draft. Bill Murray's going to be there. Jay Billis is going to be there.
I see enough of Jay Billis, but Bill Murray's pretty cool. He's pretty cool.
Anyway, so what a great. You got to be over 30 years old.
I passed out a few exits ago on the highway.
Yeah, barely, right? Just
so
barely.
It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a great time. So we're going to auction it off. It was donated to us. We're excited.
The one really neat one that Bob and I have talked about is the floating.
We're putting that. Robbie was nice enough to contact the people who provided for him, and he got us one. That's going to be in our bocce event.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh,
we got one for auction in the bocce.
Is that cool?
The floating cabin.
I
bid on that every year at his event, and I've never gotten it. So. Maybe I'll get it in our bocce.
Oh, Dennis Brindley has been phenomenal in donating that every year.
It's down at Cumberland?
No, it's down at Green River.
Green River
down there.
I see
yes.
the pictures, but it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It is gorgeous down there. They've got some great stuff.
You can go.
And they've also now got a thing going where they're, I forgot the name of it, they're in Summersville, but also they bring in a lot of country music singers. and doing a thing down there. Yeah, it's
a lot of stuff down there. It's golf course nearby, and if you just want to, I'd like to go and just, I swear, I'd just hang out in that thing and look over the lake and decompress, my friend.
Dennis will always post pictures on his Facebook of sun coming up, sun going down. Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, I've never been to the Green River.
Oh, it's awesome down there.
Yeah, I've never been.
Oh, Dennis would love to have you go down. I'm telling you, it is way cool.
Now, he has a dock. Is that what he has?
He has a dock down there, a lot of houseboats and everything.
Wow.
And then they have these cabins that are floating-type cabins.
There they are, right there.
Right there.
Showing Mike a picture.
It's great. Absolutely.
They're literally they literally are floating.
Well, they are. You got a little deck.
They all have little decks overlooking the lake.
How cool is that?
I think they're three or bedrooms or four. You can sleep eight.
Bedrooms and got like on the back, got a little deck. Little
you can
porch.
Do a little fishing off.
You can fish out there.
Yep.
You can pull your boat up. People pull the boat up right there.
They take you out on the pontoon? They deliver you on the pontoon?
You can rent a pontoon.
Well, but I mean,
you can get there by land. No, I think the land comes in the back here, and then it's on the river.
Yeah, the boats come in the back part. And then, like, kids will get it, like, when that's what they can swim out behind it.
Yeah.
Kind of a little fun thing. Oh, yeah. It's great.
That's cool. And we've got one at the Bocce?
Yes.
Absolutely.
How about that? You and I will be in a bidding war.
Yes, we will.
But that'll be a happy bidding war. See that you can walk to them. See what I mean? You can come in this way.
It's
like going on a dock. But the cabins themselves are on the water.
Right.
If you come in one door, you're fine. You walk out the other door, watch your step.
You're wet.
I've got a friend of mine up here in Louisville that owns one down there, and I go see him. It's so fun. You just sit out there on the back porch, you know, eat lunch. And might pull the boat up.
Take a nap.
I'd be good on the nap.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful down there.
You know,
yes.
I play a little Stratomatic.
It's phenomenal.
Be very happy.
There you go. Bring the game to Papa Shot.
Then play a little basket.
You talk about charity and giving back, and Robbie's so great at that, and his group is so great. But how about Del Curry's kid, Steph Curry?
Yeah.
What he did for Howard University.
We talked about that on the show last week. Well, because, you know, athletes get a bum rap, sometimes deservedly. But not only Curry, who's going to bring their golf program back from literally
elimination.
They eliminated. It was a Division II golf team years ago. He's going to refund it. But you see what Yasiel Puig did?
No, I did not.
Yasiel Puig, who's he's a strong personality. The Indians had just played the Yankees. Their series ended on Sunday. They then stayed in New York because they started that three-game series with the Mets on Tuesday. So they were in New York for basically a week with that one day off. Now, one day off, it'd be a nice day to just, especially this time of the season. Instead, rented a helicopter and flew up to a cancer camp. It's the only camp that is for Jewish cancer kids that, you know, there's things that they have to do. They keep kosher. There's certain requirements. It's for a true, Hebrew cancer camp. And he walked in with a mascot's hat on, so nobody knew who he was. And then all of a sudden he took the hat off, and they realized who it was.
Those kids went crazy, wild.
And he said it was the most life-changing experience he's ever had. And nobody even knows anything about it.
You got me on that one.
It's just – so there's – They do a lot of good things. I mean, they're not saints. Every day you pick up the paper, you'll see a guy do something that makes you roll your eyes. But there's a lot of people who take the blessings that come their way and are paying it forward. They really are.
But you don't see enough of those stories.
No, you don't. Because that's a great story.
The question is, why don't you?
I don't know. In New York, it was a big story. I know about it because I subscribe to New York Newsday. And so New York Newsday was the story there, and they covered it. But, you know, if he throws his bat, it's all across the country.
Oh, yeah. Or doesn't chase down a ball.
Yeah, it doesn't run hard after a ball.
Because we just love the negative.
Well, it sells, you know. If it burns,
fair point.
If it bleeds, it leads. That's what the newscasters say. So, you know, that's kind of the mindset. But,
you know, I'm the opposite. I get turned off with all the negativity.
I love those stories. I love Steph Curry. If you read, The Athletic did a detailed story of how it came about. It's a fantastic story. And I was mentioning you obviously heard us singing the Mets song, but not this part of the show. I was saying it's just he comes across so likable. One of the byproducts that's kind of fun as a fan of them breaking that team up. I have a hard time rooting for teams that are the overwhelming favorites. I feel weird. I've never been a
You're a dog guy.
I like rooting for the. Well, now they're the seventh
preseason betting choice to win the NBA championship. So now you can root for Steph Curry again because he's a good guy. What he says in this article is he loves golf because the people you meet, it's a game you can never master. It's a very humbling game. It's a gentleman's game. You learn life skills with it. It's the kind of thing that your athletes could take experiences from that. And so we should have it at a school like this. And it came about because a guy came. Did you hear how it started? He has a production company, and he was airing a film on Howard's campus that his production company had produced. And some kid came up to him knowing his love for golf and started a conversation about golf. And so Steph said he assumed the kid played golf at Howard. So he said, so how's your team? He said, well, we don't have a team. So what do you mean? He said, Howard doesn't have a golf team. He said, I tried to start a golf club. I put some flyers up, and he was dumbfounded. So he found a way to fund it for 6 years. Yeah. And then he went and made the day he made the announcement, he went and played a public course in, if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., the Northwest section is there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He went and played a course in the Northeast.
Northeast, yeah.
Which has been welcoming black golfers for 80 years. Not just black golfers, I mean, but it's a public course. And he played there with some folks. And he doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk. And you said, what I said in the interview was we shouldn't be surprised because you told us his dad was as one of the nicest guys you've come across. Because he alludes to that. He said, it's so great. My dad taught me to play. I'm going to teach my kids to play. It's something we all do together. And I said, that's pretty
his
cool.
His mom and dad, really, really good people. And, again, I've told this story. When I was with the original Hornets with Dell, they had a family room where the family after the game would go and wait for the players. And invariably, as soon as everything was done on the floor, those two boys were
Seth
out.
And Steph?
Yeah, were out playing hoops, shooting. And they were little enough that, they could hardly get the ball up there. I mean, but his mom and dad are quality people, and they raised two quality guys. And it's cool to see that because when you know the whole history, if you know the mom and dad and you've watched them participate in things back in the day, it's pretty cool.
It's so funny because when I was reading that, I have to tell you, my dad's been gone for a long time now. He died the year the Final Four was at Rupp, the Villanova Georgetown games.
85.
So that's a long time. But when the summer comes, if I pass a place that has just freshly cut the grass, it reminds me. He worked year round. He was a school administrator, and most of the summer I would go to basketball camp. But when basketball camp ended, there's a little window between when camp ended and when school started, and we would play 1 week every year golf every day. He would pick
just
me,
you
take
him?
Me, just take me, and we'd go play. And when you went to the golf course, that was the smell that greeted you.
Because you went up early in the morning.
He was up early. Yeah, he loved to get there early. He had to get there early on Long Island because there was no starting times. You had to sign up and wait.
Put your ball in the rack?
They signed up. There's literally a sheet. You had to sign a sheet. You had to wait. They called your number. You look at you and think, what are we, group 78? And be like, group 43. It's, oh, my God, we're going to be here for like 3 hours. But that smell always takes me back to going to Bethpage Park where the black course is, or Eisenhower Park. And it's one of my happy memories. So it was so funny when he said that. I love that. But that's the whole point. That's what he talked about. It's so true. There's not that many places you get to do that. I played with my dad, and we played with my brothers, and, now my sons play, and that's a really cool thing you can do together.
There's many professional athletes that have foundations that do a lot of good work that don't get publicity or credit, and the foundations do good work. And, Robbie, you probably have been familiar with some of those. And then there's some that don't do much either.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
some of them
you can't – I mean
– that's the problem.
Yeah.
There's always the –
But there's a lot of them that do good. There really are a lot of them that do good. So what Curry did was – Steph did was just terrific.
It's very bad, though, because it's so easy to find a list of the worst athlete charities. It takes you like 2 seconds because there's a bunch of them out there that it's very sad that they – top athletes' charities often don't measure up to what charity experts. That was an outside-the-line story about it. I'm sorry, it's the negative thing you're talking about, but the fact of the matter is there are a lot of really, really good ones as well.
And, well, Doug was mentioning he's meeting Johnny Bench down in South Carolina at Fort Bragg or one of them someplace down there, and Johnny and he have done that for years. I know Dougie told me. But
Bench got involved with Doug in the Children's Charities of Central Kentucky many years ago. And Johnny's been very generous, donated signed things and been part with Doug in entertaining and keeping the thing going. And that is really good. That is really
List
good.
Of the most charitable athletes: Derek Jeter, Christy Yamaguchi, Andre Agassi, Jeff Gordon, Peyton Manning, Mike Mussina, Mia Hamm, and Cristiano Ronaldo, the soccer player. He gives more money to charity than any other athlete. Because he, not that it's a ho-hum, he makes more than any other athlete, but still, that says a lot. Those are the guys that are on this list of the top 10 athletes who are ridiculously charitable. So there you go. So there's a good positive way to end the show.
And I will say this about Carmelo Anthony. He gave a bunch of money
to Syracuse, where he's only there for 1 year.
Yeah, and that was really cool that he donated that money for their practice facility, I believe. And you got to give him credit when he's giving back to somebody. Even if it's a year, he's giving back.
And so Durant did the same thing in Texas.
Yes, he did.
And Rick Barnes said, I called on him like he was a 4-year letterman whenever I needed something, and he always stepped up and helped us.
And there's baseball players down at Mississippi State that built their batting practice, their indoor deal.
Hack Shack.
Yeah.
Carmelo also had an outdoor court built in Puerto Rico.
Did he
down
really?
In the area that he grew up in.
How about that?
And it was gorgeous. Just now, nice outdoor court for kids in a pretty rough area to play. So
it's nice when they
get donated that too.
Very nice. All right, so we're after the top of the hour, so we got to go. Robbie, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Mike, we'll see you next week on Fast Break Friday. For those of you here in Louisville, we'll be here for another hour. Still time for you to bring some shoes by here at Dave & Buster's. Just come in the door, come up the stairs, and drop them off, and maybe we'll have a little maybe we'll see if we can get some gift cards for people. That would be a way to entice them to come in. We'll see if we can do that. So, in any case, come by. You shouldn't need a gift card to try and do a good thing. But if you want to say, hey, I want to play some games, we'll give you an opportunity to do that, too. So come say hello. Bring a gently used or new pair of shoes, athletic shoes preferably, and help the folks that are running around barefoot because they just don't have the resources to get themselves some shoes. You can help them, and we're trying to do that with Sports Reach and Robbie Spear. We'll take a break and then back with more in Louisville. Everybody else, we'll see you next week on Fast Break Friday.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.